Okay, so how is everybody? How many people are online?
15 people.
On the session. It's getting less.
Now 60.
Now 60. When you think about all the billions of people in the world who are interested in Dhamma, yeah, 16 people. Anyway, so it was quite busy. We have lots of questions. You have lots of questions, or?
Quite a few. Yeah.
Quite a few?
It's only the December ones. We already did the November ones.
Did you understand?
Sani,
did you understand?
Yes.
The ones that we did, you know, we don't have to do again. The ones from November, you know, ones from December. So to everybody who's listening online, you know, wherever they are in the world, you know, I mean, most of the countries celebrate Christmas, you know, and New Year, yeah. So take the time, you know, it is relatively quiet, yeah, not so much going on. Take the time. I take the opportunity to practice, yeah. Get into samadhi, you know, experience the solitude of samadhi, yeah. And don't busy yourself with this or that. Yeah? We are busy all day, you know, all our life. We are already busy, yeah. All busy bodies, you know, and we should, you know, take a rest now. Yeah? I mean, the holiday season is a good time, you know, to take a rest, no matter where we are, yeah. Seclude ourselves, yeah, from the rest of the world, from our friends in Holland, yeah. and go into samadhi, you know, and enjoy the solitude in samadhi and the happiness, you know, that arises in samadhi. And see, you know, that actually nothing, you know, what happens around us, nothing really doesn't matter. Yeah? You know, all the wars are going on, yeah. Huh? Yeah? Don't even worry about that, yeah. Okay, so today I won't give a talk. I just listen to your questions and trying to answer them as good as I can, yeah. So, if there are online questions, yeah, please go ahead, yeah.
Hi, Anjana. I'm Nigel. I have been practicing Buddha for quite some time, like for months, 2 to 3 months. But I still cannot, I practice for over 6 hours a day now. But I still cannot manage to get into jhana. Any tips for entering into jhana?
Why do you want to enter jhana?
I want to experience the bliss of jhana.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody can experience jhana.
Yeah, but how can I enter into jhana?
Yeah, I mean, jhana practice is a very difficult practice. My venerable teaching master said, you know, if you really want to practice the jhanas, yeah, I mean, you have to be somewhere in a cave alone for 18 years and practice them before you can do that.
Can you do that? 18 years.
18 years. And within 18 years, you might be even able, you know, to go to Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, Arahantship, yeah? So why to practice the jhanas, yeah? Practice samadhi, yeah? Have you been into samadhi yet?
Level of jhana, just samadhi.
Yeah, that is enough. Yeah, don't you? Yeah, when you go into samadhi, you know there are two stages of samadhi. There's the upachara samadhi when there's no thoughts and where no memory coming up. Still, you know, still is feeling. Yeah, but when you go deeper, you know, when you stick with your Buddha or stick with the breath, yeah, until you can't even think one more thought, you know, then you jump into this knowingness, yeah, and then everything disappears. Yeah. This you can do. This doesn't require. people who can enter the jhana in this life are mostly the people who practice the jhanas in their previous life. Yeah? So if you have never practiced the jhanas in previous life, yeah, never came close to it, I mean, it is pretty much impossible for you to practice, yeah, to get into the jhanas. So don't worry about it. Yeah? It's a waste of time. Yeah? Samadhi is the thing that we need. Yeah? Because when we come out of the samadhi, our mind is very clear and sharp. Yeah? And when the mind is very clear and sharp, then we can do the investigation, cutting down on the fetters that bind us to the to the realm of birth and death, yeah, to the endless realm of rebirth, yeah. You understand that?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, the people always want to go into China. Yeah, where are you from? China or what?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. I don't know where you get the idea from, yeah, that people can go into jhanas. I mean, Lungta Mahabua, my venerable teacher, never talked about the jhanas. Yeah, he said it's He said, you know, I mean, if you really want to practice, you know, you practice solitude. Yeah, I mean, you're alone, you know, somewhere, you know, and practice the jhanas. And I don't know who, you know, how to practice them. Yeah? If it happens that you end up in the jhanas, that's fine, yeah, because you have practiced in your previous life. If you don't end up and just end up in samadhi, that is enough, yeah. We want to get out, don't you want to get out of this cycle of birth and death, yeah? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, okay, 6 hours is very good time, you know. Yeah? How many months did you do this?
3 months.
3 months, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you should at least go into Upachara Samadhi, you know, can be able to stay in Upachara Samadhi for an hour or so, yeah? And then you...
I don't know this Upachara Samadhi, but I'm very still. My mind is very still, but sometimes a little bit pity arises, but okay. It vanishes.
You make a mistake. When the pity arises, yeah? The pity arises because of your practice, yeah? So don't go to the pity. Yeah? Let, you know, go stay with the Buddha, you know, and then the pity increases. Yeah?
Oh, okay. But stay with 2 months. Oh, sorry.
It is a mistake a lot of people do, you know, when there's a feeling arising because of our work, yeah? That's why I compare the work of a samadhi like digging a hole, yeah? I mean, the longer we dig, the deeper the hole is, yeah? Yeah? But when we stop in watching how deep the hole is, it will fill up, yeah? And that is the same thing when you go to these feelings, be it the feelings of stillness or being the feeling of pity or joy or whatever it is, yeah? I mean, it will disappear because we don't remember that the thing that brought up the pity was our constant repetition of the Buddha or staying with the breath. Around the tip of the nose, yeah? Okay? Understood?
Okay.
So try it out, yeah? The next 3 months, you know, 6 hours a day, you know, and don't go into the pity and see what is happening. Yeah? Maybe you have the opportunity, maybe you have practiced the jhanas in previous life. Then it comes on its own, yeah? Don't try to make something, yeah? Because in Upachara Samadhi, we don't really make anything because, I mean, there's nothing, you know, nothing that we want, yeah? And because there's nothing that we want, there's no dukkha. There's no desire, yeah? I mean, Upachara Samadhi, you really cannot think anymore, and without thinking, you know, without intentions, you know, I mean, there's no dukkha, yeah?
That's right. Now,
okay.
Is it okay for me to start my investigation when Buddha starts? Like I chant Buddha,
yeah.
And I'm already aware of the impermanence of this force of Buddha.
Yeah.
Is it okay?
Only when the mind is when you arrested the mind in samadhi. Then after the mind is clear, yeah, I mean when there are no more thoughts and no more memories coming up, huh? And when you stay there for a while, then when you come out, yeah, out of samadhi, then you can investigate, you know, you can investigate anicca, anatta or dukkha, yeah, or you can start investigating the body, or you can start, you know, going back in memory, in the memory lane of you know, how was it when I was born, you know, how was it, how did I train my body, you know, and then, yeah. Go through the life, you know, and then extend the life, you know, going, getting sick, you know, and then getting old and then die, yeah. To get an understanding, you know, I mean, it's not our life, you know, it is just, you know, I mean, just we have a new car, you know, we have to train the car, yeah. And then the car gets old, and then in the end, you know, we can't use it anymore, and then we put it to the scrapyard, and then we look for another car. That is the same with the body, yeah. We get a body, we have to train it for 15, 18 years, then it works, you know, I mean, it has full strength for 30 years, yeah, and then it slowly decays, you know, and then it dies, yeah. And then we go and look for a new body. And you do that over and over and over again, unless, you know, unless you investigate it, yeah. Your attachment to the body, yeah. And the first thing you have to investigate is that the body is not self, yeah. That the body and the citta are two different things. Yeah? You can feel the body, but who is the one who feels the body? It's not the body that feels the body. Huh? Who knows about the thoughts? Yeah? It cannot be, you cannot be the thoughts. Yeah? Subject cannot be object. Yeah? So revert to the subject. Yeah? No. That thought, there is a thought, you know, and the thought arises and ceases. Know that there's a memory arises and ceases. Know the same thing about the Buddha, the body. The body is born and then it dies, yeah? It's born, it gets old, you know, it gets sick, you know, and then it dies, yeah? Know this anicca, or you know this anatta, yeah? This anatta, that you're not the thoughts, you're not the memories, yeah? Because you believe you're the thought. And that is where we get into trouble. We believe we are the memories. Yeah? That's where we get into trouble. We believe we are feelings. Yeah? I feel good. Yeah. Or I feel sad. Yeah? No, there is a feeling of sadness. Then we can look at it and we can see that what is the source of the sadness, you know, and we can eradicate the source of the sadness. Yeah. Huh? Like you do in everyday life. Yeah. You know the friend that you see, that you are not your friend. Huh? Just because you see him, it is not you. Just because you know that he's there or she is there, you know, it is not you. Huh? Understood?
Understood. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Who wants to go next? Can I go next? Yeah, thank you.
Ah.
Yes.
Namaskar, Ajahn. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good, Ajahn. Mm. And keep meditating. Today, I also have a question from my sister about upacara samadhi and jhana also. So I would like to discuss my doubt about jhana and upacara samadhi, or maybe apana samadhi. So where do we split ways when we are going for jhana or just samadhi? And until this moment, I thought that jhana is part of samadhi. Is it like we want to excel to a deeper level of upacara samadhi, then we go to the jhana? Or how do we split the way? Is it samadhi, not jhana? Or
yeah, forget about.
Where do we split between the samadhi and jhana? Yes.
Forget about the jhanas, please. Yeah. I just talked to the other from the Hong Kong. You know, I mean, forget about the jhanas. Just concentrate, yeah, on samadhi. Yeah, upacara samadhi is then, yeah, in the beginning of upacara samadhi, there can be once in a while a thought popping up, once in a while a memory popping up. But the longer you stay in upacara samadhi, then there is no more thoughts and no more memories. Yeah, if you understand, you know, the upacara samadhi can go from not so detailed to very detailed. Yeah, just in accordance with the jhanas. The jhanas are on a higher level. Yeah. And, I mean, if you can do both, you know, if you can do the jhanas and samadhi, you can compare them, yeah? And they are on a higher level, but, you know, in the state, in the, in the state of stillness, they are the same. Yeah, it's just quiet. Yeah, and there's nothing going on. It's just the experience itself. Yeah, it's the experience of the Buddha. It's the experience of the breath. Yeah, so don't forget about the jhana. Yeah, I mean, go into upachara samadhi until there is no more thought and no more memory coming up, and then still stay with the Buddha or with the breath. Yeah. Until the breath stops, not disappears. A lot of people think, "Ah, the breath disappears. Yeah, what shall I do?" Yeah, huh? Huh? What you shall do is go back to the breath. Yeah, it doesn't disappear. The breath. Yeah, there's a very clear knowing that the breath has stopped. Yeah, and then that's where a lot of people get afraid. Yeah, and then they start to think again, and then that's how they come out of samadhi again. And then they have to start over, yeah, overcome the fear, yeah. When you go to sleep, you don't know if you wake up. So, I mean, in the beginning, we might worry if you don't wake up, you know, what is going to happen, yeah. But sooner or later, we just go to sleep because we know we go wake up, yeah. And it's the same thing with Apana Samadhi. We go into the one-pointedness, yeah. So, all the time, yeah, when you go in one-pointedness, that is when subject and objects merge into one point, and there's nothing you can say about it, yeah? So you don't have to be with the Buddha or the breath anymore, because as long as you see or feel the breath or see the Buddha, you know, I mean, you're not in Apana Samadhi. Understood? Yeah? And as long as you can experience the breath, or as long as you can see the Buddha, or the Buddha is still running, that means, you know, you still have to stick with it. Okay? And don't worry about the jhanas, yeah? I mean, you will tell me if somebody of you, you know, enters the jhana, he will tell me, yeah? Yeah? About his experience. Yeah? But I haven't seen anybody, yeah, except, you know, for 10 or 15, 20 years ago, you know, there was a woman, she could just enter within 7 days as she was entering the jhana. Yeah, that happens then automatically, yeah? Because we have trained it in our previous life, yeah? If it doesn't happen, don't even worry about it, because it's too long, it's too much of a stretch, yeah? It's too much of hard work, and it doesn't bring anything, yeah? People always like the jhanas because they want to have magic powers. They want to read the minds of others, or, you know, I mean, or want to walk on... anyway, so... Just the same thing. Yeah. Just waste of time. Yeah? Okay, so, next question.
Okay, next question. Following up the previous questions, there's somebody asked about watching pornography or masturbation doesn't break the precept. But how does that affect our practice?
Of course it affects our practice. It's giving into the desires, and the longer we give into the desires, I mean, the more we are drawn into, yeah? It does affect our practice, yeah? I didn't say it doesn't break the precepts, the 5 precepts, yeah? That's what he was asking. It would break the 8th precept, yeah? But people are not on 8 precepts, but the 5 precepts, yeah? I mean, you have a wife, you know, when you sleep with her, you don't break the precepts, huh? Oh?
Correct.
Yeah? And masturbation is just doing it by themselves, yeah? So, I mean, it's not breaking the precept. Yeah? But, of course, it bothers us, you know? The more we have to give into that, you know, I mean, the more, yeah? The more you do something, the more you are inclined, you know, the more you draw into, yeah? And it affects the practice, yeah?
Thank you,
Ajahn. Next.
Anyone wants to go next?
Okay, so then read the questions, you know.
Yeah. Okay. So these are the questions from
last
month.
No, yeah. Start from this time. You can skip the chat, November.
The chat, we
skip November.
Yeah, skip okay. November, yeah.
Okay.
What?
So, yeah, first question. How do I think this one is, I think Nigel asked his own question just now. I think it's similar to what Nigel asked, the guy from Hong Kong asked just now. The other question from Calvin. Hi Ajahn, since the five khandhas are not ourselves, does an arahant still have the same thoughts of hatred in their mind? Can an arahant still have thoughts of hatred in their mind, but they don't entertain such thoughts because their heart is pure?
No, they can't have thoughts of hate because they have overcome hate already. So, I mean, there's no thoughts of hate coming up, yeah? And they can't entertain anything of this, yeah? I mean, some people have the idea, you know, yeah, especially in the West, you know, there's hate coming up, but I don't delve into it, yeah? So I must be an arahant. No. Thoughts of hate don't come up, yeah? I mean, because you have seen through these things, yeah? I mean, how can there be hate coming up, yeah? These things are brought on, you know, an arahant, these things are brought on by the kilesas. Hate is something, I don't like this or I don't like this, yeah? That is a form of hate, yeah? So it cannot, an arahant doesn't have this. Okay, next.
Next question from the same person. Dear Ajahn, I would like to ask about avijja paccaya sankhara. So, if there's hate or greed in the mind, but we do not take any action on it, is that counted as a sankhara? Thank you very much, Ajahn.
Is that counted as a sankhara? Yes, if no, there is... What?
Yeah, his original words is... Is it included as a sankhara?
Yeah, a sankhara is either thought formation or phenomena. Yeah? I really don't get the question correctly. I mean, I don't know what he wants to know.
If there's greed or hate.
Yeah, greed or hate comes after the labeling, yeah? Comes after the feeling, yeah? I mean, if I understand, it's so long time ago that I looked at the Paticca Samuppada, yeah? But I think, you know, after the labor comes feeling, and the feeling creates desire. And with desire comes hate, greed, and hatred, yeah? If your mind is very, very calm and you don't delve into it, yeah, you don't create karma. Yeah? If you delve into it, you create karma, yeah, either good karma or bad karma. That is the only answer I can give to that, yeah. Okay, next.
Next question. What is the difference between the citta and the Western concept of a soul?
The citta is not personalized, yeah? And the soul, yeah, I mean, if I understand soul correctly, you know, it's a person, yeah? It's an entity, yeah? The citta is not really an entity, yeah? Because the citta changes because of our thoughts, because of our encounters, because of our things, yeah? Just like we change from when we were born, you know, we are never the same person. So there's not really a personality, yeah? The citta doesn't have a personality. The citta is, you know, defined, you know, by karma, yeah? Whatever karma it has, yeah? And that is the impure citta, yeah? So, I mean, I would never talk about the citta being a soul, yeah? A soul, you know, seems to be the same person going into the next life. No, the citta who goes into the next life has very different characteristics, yeah? It might have some of the characteristics from this life, but it can have other characteristics from other lives. Huh? So, I mean, you cannot talk, you cannot say, or you cannot define, you know, the citta as something, yeah, as a person, yeah? Even now in our life, we change our personality. So, I mean, how can we talk about, you know, this is my personality? Yeah? I mean, the personality of you, you know, Sani of 20 years ago and now, it is different, or? There's some character traits that are the same thing, yeah? But, you know, some of them you changed, yeah? Because of your practice, because of your insight, because of your wisdom, and some people because of their desires, yeah? They changed, yeah? And it changes slowly, you know, and that's why we don't get it, yeah? But it changes all the time. And soul seems to be something, you know, as if I understand it correctly, it seems something permanent, and that citta is not permanent. Okay? Next. The people should, the people who ask this question should, you know, should ask them in the chat room. So, I mean, then you know, I can clarify it, you know, just putting out the questions, you know, I mean, sometimes I really don't know what they want to know. Okay, next.
Dear Longpo, I have been practicing mindfulness for a while, and it's leading to nowhere. Initially, I was able to maintain mindfulness and kept my anger checked. But lately, my anger has grown stronger, and the mindfulness that I used to have got weaker than it was before. I did meditation at times, but I don't think the results have anything to shout about. Most likely, I'm going to be wasting this lifetime by indulging in sense-related entertainments and fade away like what I've been doing for the past billion of lifetimes. I'm just wondering if there's even a chance for a lay person to even achieve Sotapanna stage with so much with so much distractions surrounding us and commitment to accomplish. Thank you, and I wish you well.
If he can ask the question, yeah, and if he has interest in that, he can attain it. But I don't say it is easy, yeah. I mean, he has to pull himself. Why do you think, you know, we become monks or novices or mechis, yeah? To pull ourselves out of the world so that we don't get, you know, infatuated with the sense desires, yeah? We still have sense desires as monks and mechis, yeah? that is okay. So we can deal with them because most of our time is spent, you know, in practicing the mind. When he says his mindfulness is gone, you know, that means, you know, he doesn't practice enough, yeah? And he doesn't practice enough because he finds it too difficult to practice, and it is much easier to be on your smartphone and entertain yourself with TikTok and YouTube and whatsoever, yeah? Telegram, Line, you know, whatever these distractions are, yeah? The first thing is you put your smartphone aside, you know, and then you have already, you know, half of the distractions are gone, yeah? That's all what I can say. Yes, of course, you know, a lay person can attain to Sotapanna, can even attain to Sakadagami. Yeah? I mean, it would be much more difficult to attain to Anagami, so he has to have adopt to a certain kind of lifestyle to be able to enter Anagami. At the time of the Lord Buddha, yeah, I mean, the distractions were less, yeah, and it was easier, yeah. But we are born because of our karma in this time, yeah? So, deal with it. Distance yourself, yeah? Ask yourself, you know, do the investigation. What am I doing now? What kind of results does this have, yeah? Does it have good results, wholesome results? Then I do it again. Does it have unwholesome results? Then I stop doing it, yeah? And you do that, you know, I mean, it is not easy to detach yourself. So you do it over again, yeah? If you cannot detach today, you will be able to detach tomorrow. If you cannot detach tomorrow, then you will be able to detach yourself the day after tomorrow, and so on, yeah? you have to put some effort, yeah? Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the Kilesas talking. I mean, I just waste my life, yeah? Yeah, you wasted already millions of lives, yeah? But, yeah, you waste another life, and the longer, and the more you waste your life, the more difficult it is, yeah, to start practicing again. So start right now, yeah? Practice every day, practice samadhi, you know, until you get to some kind of calm, yeah? And then the mindfulness, yeah, or the sati, or awareness returns. Okay, next question. Next.
Next question. Dear Ajahn, after an Arahan dies, is his citta still around in this world? And can he appear to someone who is in Upachara Samadhi? Thank you.
Yes. If he has the connection to, yeah. I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, appeared to Lumpuman and gave him a lecture. So it is possible, yeah. But the thing that he says, you know, it is wrong, you know. I mean, the citta is not in this world, yeah. It is not in our world, but he still can appear, yeah. If he sees, you know, if he sees, it is fit, yeah. Next question.
German question.
Habe ich es richtig verstanden, dass das Herz der Meditationspraxis ein Meditationsobjekt und dazugehöriges Gewahrsein ist? Stellt sich Ruhe ein, wenn wir das Gewahrsein konsequent auf das Meditationsobjekt zurückführen?
Das Herz? Was hat das Herz
damit zu tun? Er meint die Essenz. Dass die Essenz der Meditationspraxis ein Meditationsobjekt ist.
Ja, natürlich, wir brauchen am Anfang, ja, wir brauchen immer so, wenn wir meditieren, wenn wir Samadhi machen, brauchen wir immer ein Meditationsobjekt. Egal, ob das das Buddha oder Dhamma oder Sangha ist, ja, oder wenn es Christen sind, ihre Maria oder was auch immer, ne, wir brauchen das Objekt und wir müssen uns darauf konzentrieren. Wenn es der Atem ist, dann konzentrieren wir uns auf den Atem, aber an dem Punkt der Nasenspitze und schauen, ob der Atem reingeht oder rausgeht oder tief ist oder so. Ne. Und wenn wir die Repetition vom Buddha machen oder Dhamma oder was auch immer, dann müssen wir das Buddha immer am Laufen halten. Und sobald es von selber läuft, dann schauen wir an, wie das Buddha ist. Ob das schnell ist, ob das langsam ist, ob das tief ist oder, ja, oder wie auch immer. Für Samadhi brauchen wir das. Und wir brauchen das, ja, selbst im Upachara Samadhi, ne, wenn wir schon im Upachara Samadhi sind, ne, brauchen wir dieses Meditationsobjekt bis zum Schluss, bis wir in Apana Samadhi, in das tiefe Samadhi eintauchen. Wenn wir in das tiefe Samadhi eintauchen, dann gibt's nichts mehr. Ne? Das ist das Ende von allem Sein. Und das machen sich Leute nicht klar. Wenn das Subjekt und das Objekt eins werden, dann kann man nichts mehr sagen. Dann ist man im Grunde nicht mehr. Das ganze Universum verschwindet mit all seinen Sternen, ne? Mit all seinen Gefühlen, mit all seinen Gedanken. Ist alles weg. Der Körper ist weg. Ich vergleiche das immer, ne? Du gehst ja zum Beispiel, die Deutschen, die lieben das Morgenjoggen, ja? Die fahren zum Jogpath, you know, und dann lassen sie ihr Auto stehen, ne? Dann steigen sie aus dem Auto auf und dann rennen sie für 2 Stunden oder für 1 Stunde und dann kommen sie zurück und dann sehen sie, dass ihr Auto kaputt ist, ne? Das ist genau das Apana Samadhi. In dem Moment, wo du ins Apana Samadhi eintauchst, ne? Können die mit deinem Körper machen, was sie wollen, die können den zerstückeln, ne? Oder können ganz lassen, die können den vollkommen, what is this, to beat up, ja? Und wenn du zurückkommst und der Körper, der ist noch gebrauchbar oder so, oder das Auto ist noch gebrauchbar, dann setzt du dich wieder rein und fährst weiter. Ja, das ist Apana Samadhi, du bist nicht mehr da, ne? Und solange du noch da bist, solange du noch den Atem spürst oder solange du noch das Buddha hast oder was auch immer dein Meditationsobjekt ist, ne, bist du ja noch da, bist du noch in dieser Welt, in dieser Dualität. Ne? Und die Dualität hört nur auf, wenn du in die Einspitzigkeit kommst, wenn du, ne, One-Pointedness, ja, wenn Subjekt und Objekt sich in einem Punkt vereint. Und dann kann man nichts mehr sagen, weil unsere ganze Sprache ist die Sprache der Dualität. Das Einzige, was du sagen kannst, wenn du rauskommst, ist, ich habe nicht geschlafen. Und wie lange du drin bist, weißt du nicht. Weil Raum und Zeit verschwindet auch. Es ist alles weg. Die Vorstellung, dass da irgend noch was ist, ist falsch. Das ist alles weg. Was übrig bleibt, ist die pure knowingness, wie sagt man da im Deutschen, das reine Gewahrsam, ja. Aber das Gewahrsam, nicht, dass irgendwelche Objekte gewahr ist. Das ist nicht Gewahrsam. Ich weiß nicht. Ich habe das irgendwann mal übersetzt. Ich kann mich jetzt nicht mehr dran erinnern auf Deutsch. Ja. It's clear knowingness. Ja. Aber a knowingness that doesn't know any objects. Ja. So. Und das ist der Unterschied. Ne. Solange wir Objekte haben, ne, egal ob das kleine Objekte sind, große Objekte sind, ne, zum Schluss, wenn das Samadhi sich zusammenzieht, ne, dann verschwindet der Körper langsam, ne? Aber es ist immer noch, ne, das ist immer noch da, an der Stelle des Chittas haben wir immer noch ein Gefühl. Und wenn es an die Einspitzigkeit geht, dann ist alles weg. Ne? Das ist das, Lungta Mahabur, das ist das Wunder der Meditation. Das erste Wunder der Meditation, dieser Status des Apanasamadhi. Ne? Und er spricht auch, das ist der Preview of Nibbana, also die Vorschau auf Nibbana. Ne? Wenn jemand wissen will, ne, wie sich Nibbana anfühlt, ne? Was heißt anfühlt in Quotation Mark, ja? Dann soll er mal dahin gehen. Ne? Und ich kann ihm garantieren, wenn er rauskommt, ne, der erste Gedanke, der dann hochkommt, ne? Er kommt ja wieder raus, ne? Ja, ist, wie komme ich wieder zurück? Er will in diese Welt von Gefühlen, von sensory Inputs, ne? das ist wie wenn du zwischen zwei Fronten stehst, ne? Zwei Fronten, zum Beispiel im Ukraine-Krieg, ne? Die Russen und die Ukraine schießen aufeinander und du stehst mitten dazwischen und kriegst alle Kugeln ab. Ja? Wer will da sein? Ja? Aber das kann man nur dann erfahren, wenn man mal da drin gewesen ist und man wieder rauskommt in die Welt. Oder in Zeit ohne Wasser. Okay, understood? No. Habt ihr das verstanden? Gut. So, Linda, how are you? Where's Aseng? Ah. He's already on the beach on palm trees. Yeah? Okay, next question. Yeah, Sani? Noch ein Deutsche.
Ja, das heißt, es ist nur ein Kompliment.
Ja, yeah, okay.
Ihre Religionstoleranz und Einstellung gegenüber anderen Religionen äußerst vorbildlich. Vielen Dank dafür. Von dieser Einstellung könnten sich andere religiöse Oberhäupter eine dicke Scheibe abschneiden. Danke.
Was hab ich gesagt? Ja.
Ich vermute den Tag mit dem jungen Christen da.
Ach so, mit dem Christen da. Ah, okay. Ja, ja, ich habe keine Probleme mit anderen Religionen. Jeder soll doch glauben, was er glauben will. Ne? Ich verurteile nie und ich belittle auch niemanden, ne, wenn er eine andere Religion hat. Okay, so, next. Is it, German is over?
German is over, but I have email questions.
Email questions. Sani, the chat questions first?
Yeah, there are a few more questions submitted later online.
Okay.
Yeah,
come on. If there are no live questions, you know, live questions are always, yeah.
Yeah,
maybe live
questions. Anyone has any questions to
us? Yeah,
any of you?
Can I
meet yourself? Yeah. Okay. Holland.
Yes. So. How is it? I'm fine, but sometimes I'm not fine. I'm quite stuck a bit in the negative at the moment. Negative thinking and negative feeling.
Yeah.
I had a few questions. First was, when I'm practicing samadhi, sometimes the breath gets really calm and it doesn't stop, but it gets really subtle, and for me it's hard a bit to stay with it, because it feels like I can't stay with it, I can't find it sometimes, because it becomes subtle. And I get into thinking quite easy.
Yeah.
Again.
Yes. Just to answer, you know, to answer or to point out, you know, what is happening. When you are subtle and you cannot stay with the breath, actually your interest, you know, disappears from the breath. And that's why you easily think. So you should really, sh- should really, you know, encompass the breath, you know, and really, you know, what is happening? When is the breath starting? When is the breath at its height? When it's the breath, you know, going slowly going down? When it is changing from in-breath to out-breath? Your interest is the key. And you lose, when the breath becomes calm, you lose the interest in the breath. And that's what you don't notice, and that's why it's easily going into thinking. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I understand. But for that one, then I try to do what you say like this before, because you've told those things before to me.
Yeah.
But then I get into thinking too much about that, and I think, well, now I'm starting questions about how the breath is. Am I practicing even samadhi, or am I practicing sort of
vipassana? No, okay.
Because I'm at
no,
how
don't,
the breath
no.
is, and then mm. I mm. feel.
Yeah, you get confused. Nah, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, once in a while, you know, to ask the question, how is the breath, keeps your interest in it. Yeah, but then stop. Yeah, don't worry about it. You know, if it is samadhi or not samadhi. Yeah, I mean, you will know if you're in samadhi. Yeah, so you don't have to ask the question. Yeah. Just, you know, if you can't feel the breath or if you don't know how the breath is, ask the question, how is the breath now? Is it in-breath, out-breath? Is it long? Is it short? Yeah. Just this few questions to get you more interested and then stop. Yeah. And don't worry if you're in samadhi or not, because if you're in samadhi, you know you're in samadhi. If you're not in samadhi, yeah, you think you're in samadhi. Yeah. And that is very different. Next question.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so busy with with labeling, because I really want to get it right, and then I get confused very easy, and then I just to really write everything out and really understand what I'm doing, and then I don't understand it, and I get frustrated with myself, like why I still don't understand it, and. Yeah, then I get quite negative about myself, and yeah.
These Dutch people are just very like Germans, yeah. They try to figure out too many things, you know. Yeah? Just, you know, the basic thing is, am I with the breath or am I not with the breath? Yeah? This is all what you need to know. When you are with the breath, how is the breath, yeah? And don't worry, do I sit correctly? No. Yeah. I have to sit like this, I have to sit like... All these are coming from the kilesas to pull you out of samadhi. Yeah. So the only thing that you should remember for samadhi is, am I with my breath or not? If I'm with my breath, you know, I'm on the way to samadhi. Yeah? If I'm not with my breath, I'm not on the way to samadhi. Yeah? If I say, how is the breath at the moment, that, you know, keeps my interest going into, and I'm still with the object of, yeah, that goes to the samadhi. Yeah. But if I think about, this is not right, should I do it like this? I know these questions are coming up, yeah, but they are always drawing us out, yeah. So you should see these questions as kilesas and say, forget about it, and then go back to the breath. Am I with the breath or not? Okay? And then the negativity doesn't come up, yeah? We are getting frustrated because we have expectation, yeah?
Yes.
And that is a really big problem, especially for all the Westerners. Expectations, yeah. Am I now close? The moment you ask, am I close? Yeah. Then you're not close. Yeah? Am I close to somebody? You're not close, you know, because you ask a question, yeah. As I said, you know when you're in samadhi, you know it. And if you're not, if you ask yourself, am I in samadhi, then you're not in samadhi. So just remember this, you know, remind yourself, yeah, as long as I'm with the breath, as long as I try, you know, to try these labels, you know, I mean, how is the breath, yeah, I'm with the breath, yeah, and every other question, you know, do I do it correctly or this or that, you know, should I sit like this or that, you know, I mean, it's all the kilesas who slowly draw you out. Okay? And then you don't get into negativity, yeah? If there are no thoughts I'm not doing it right. You know, this is the thought that leads to negativity, yeah? Or frustration, yeah? I know expectations are very difficult to cut down, you know? See them, there's expectation, and then go back to the breath. Because they come in very subtle, yeah? Yeah? This is expectations, yeah? Now, I'm coming closer, No, yeah? When you see this, the expectation, and then go back to the breath. Yeah? I mean, we start all over again. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, people are afraid to stop, you know, because there's, yeah, no, you just, you know, stop, you know, and sometimes, you know, open your eyes, you know, take a deep breath, you know, and then go back in. There's no, you don't lose anything. Yeah? But we are afraid to lose, you know, now I'm so close. Then we don't want to stop, you know, and actually what we do is just the opposite of it. Yeah? Yeah, okay, open the eyes, okay. Okay, go on. Yeah? Just do it again, yeah? That's what we do all our life, yeah? Even the one, you know, who's an anagami, who still does the same thing, yeah? So don't even worry about it. Yeah? Stop it and start again. And that cuts also down on the expectations, yeah? Because the expectation, yeah, no, you can't stop, you have to pushing us, yeah? I mean, we don't like to be pushed, yeah? Yeah? But we push ourselves so much, you know, that we are getting stressed out, yeah? If somebody else pushes, we realize that somebody else pushes us, yeah? And then we start to hate or fight him, yeah? But if we push ourselves, we don't realize it. Yeah? Realize it, you know, and then get free. Yeah? I don't need to push myself. I just go, yeah, and then go back. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Sometimes I can do like that and it just goes away, but right now it's taking the over.
Yeah. It's practice. Another
thing which is related is that I was reflecting about life, like you say, for example, when you get born and you die and stuff like that, and then I get a bit negative as well because I think of all the things I did wrong as well, because when I think about it, you know, I broke all the five precepts before, and then I don't like myself, and you know, I'm really trying for the past like 3 years to really improve myself and to really try to at least have a good moral and try to do good, but then I become obsessive with trying to do good, and then when it doesn't work, I get frustrated, and then I think, oh, I don't want to reflect anymore about my life because all the negative things comes up, and yeah.
You have to be cool with this, yeah? I mean, when I reflected about my life, you know, I even did start, you know, I said, did this, you know, I mean, this gives me 7 days or 7 weeks in hell, then this gives me, you know, another month in hell, or this 10 months in hell, you know. So I added up. When I was at 30 years in hell, I said, okay, it's enough, you know, I mean, let's go on, yeah. You cannot change the past. Remember that. Whatever we have done in the past, but we can accept it, what we have done in the past, okay, I will accept the punishment for it, yeah, when it was bad, yeah. So I added it up, said, okay, 30 years in hell, you know, I'm in the past, the time will pass, yeah, but I cannot change anything. Every bad word I said to other people, you know, every bad action I did onto other people, what I can do is ask them, you know, ask them in my heart for forgiveness, yeah, I'm sorry that I did this unto you. May you forgive me, yeah? And I forgive you, whoever did something unto me. And then, you know, leave it at this, yeah? You cannot do more, yeah? But that, you know, that relaxes the problem of, you know, I mean, being frustrated of all our bad things that we did, yeah? You did also good things, yeah? You know, sometimes reflect on the good things that you did. Or you helped your mother or your father or whatever, you know, or your friend or your brother and whatever, yeah, or your students or whatever it is, yeah. We did good things, yeah. And sometimes we tend to forget because we look more on the negativity of us than on the positive side. Yeah? And especially if you are German bred person, you're living close to the border. We only reflect about our negativity and never look at the good things, yeah? I remember, you know, I was in the States, you know, and there was an African teacher, I think he was from Ghana, you know, who was teaching African studies, yeah? And I really liked him, and he was in trouble, so I gave him some money and asked my friends, you know, he needed a new apartment, you know, and he didn't have any money, so I asked my friends, you know, I mean, okay, let's you know, chip in, you know, and so that he can have a new apartment, yeah. And I completely forgot about it until somebody reminded me, did you know what you did there? You know, I mean, you have this person? I completely forgot, yeah. So, I mean, we do good things, you know, and we tend to forget and we tend to focus on the negativity. That's why your mind likes to go into negative thought. Yeah, try to remember. And also tell your parents about all the good things that they did to you. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, that's difficult.
No, I respect my parents a lot.
Huh?
I respect my parents a lot, so it's not. Before, when I was young, it was difficult, but now it's not really difficult.
Okay, good.
So the last thing about the subject is, because of all those thoughts, you know, I get afraid of, you know, going to hell, and you talk about war a lot, and then I start to worry about war coming to the Netherlands, and I just, yeah, I don't know. Is it coming to the Netherlands?
I doubt it doesn't come over the Rhine. As much as I know, it doesn't. It stops at the Rhine, but you know, of course, you know there will be some troubles there. Yeah. I don't know where the Rhine goes to the Netherlands, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Don't worry about it.
I don't know, but you make me great, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I mentioned this, you know, to give you encouragement to practice. Because there's nothing we can do. We cannot prepare ourselves for the next moment. Because we don't know what is going to happen in our next moment. Unless we have a very clear awareness where we can see some parts of the future, what is coming up, yeah? Some people can have that. Now, I mean, the only thing you prepare yourself, why I mentioned this coming war is, you know, to get the people to practice as much as they can, because that is what is going to help you. The more you practice, the more you see clearly, the more you see the opportunities you have, yeah? And you see the decisions that you normally block with your mind because you want this or you want that. Understand? Don't even worry, we don't know what is going to happen. I don't know how I am going to be affected. I don't know, you know, I mean, I read some predictions, you know, but, you know, the prediction says, you know, I mean, most of the battles will be at the Rhine and around Cologne, yeah? The big battle, yeah? But that is it, yeah? I mean, and it will be soon over, yeah. It won't last very long, yeah? But there are so many other things that are going to happen, so I don't really know, yeah. The best thing is, you know, I mean, just live in the present moment, and in the present moment you have so many opportunities to go in the right direction or also go in the wrong direction. If you plan something, you certainly will fail. Just like when you reflect about your life, when you plan something, you know, you miss out on all the good opportunities that present themselves, you know, just right beside the sun. But because you're so blinded with your what you want to do, you know, you don't see them. And that's the main objective why I mentioned this, you know, to make the mind, you know, aware of all the opportunities, of all the possibilities, how we can act. Okay? We don't know. I don't know what is going to happen, yeah? I just heard some predictions, you know, very reliable, yeah, but Yeah. How it is in detail, I don't know. But, you know, if you have the karma, and if you have an open mind, you will go in the right direction. Either to fulfill your karma, if you have to die, you will die, you know, and there's nothing that can prevent you from death, yeah? Our karma doesn't allow that, yeah? But if you have the karma, you know, not to die in this, you know, I mean, then it will lead you out. I mean, people survived the Second World War, yeah? Lots of people, yeah? Even now, you know, in all these wars, people survive, yeah? And other people get killed. Some, most of them because of their karma, some because of their stupidity, yeah? And others because of their good fortune, yeah? So don't worry about the effects of the war, yeah? Just take it as a... as a
Probation?
Yeah, something, you know, encouragement to practice. Yeah? To practice more. And the more you do, the more you are able to see. Yeah? That's all. Okay? Next. Finished?
Last thing about practice.
Yeah.
Last time you told me to just know the whole body when showering. And I did that before, actually, when I just started doing meditation about 3 years ago. I started doing that. So right now it came back actually more easy, and I just felt funny sometimes of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
How you like something, but it's just the same movement.
Yeah.
So that one I tried to do during the day a bit more. But still, I'm trying to label what is it exactly that I'm doing at the moment when I'm trying to see it. Am I creating awareness, or am I investigating at the time, or what is it exactly that I'm seeing?
You think too much. Be more aware, you know. I mean, how can you not know what is going on in the body? I mean, try, you know, close your eyes and move your arm. You know that the arm is moving? And so you don't have to label it. We go to the knowingness. Yeah? So be more, retract more and more to the knowingness of what is going on with the body. I mean, you don't have to label it, the arm moves or this moves or that moves. Yeah? You can compare it then, you know, when you don't have this awareness, then you can use sometimes, you know, this label, you know, okay, arm is moving, foot is high and foot is low. But, you know, it's only when your awareness is not there. Yeah?
Yeah, for that I understand. Like, I do like upper what I'm doing, but just like, is it practicing like awareness even, or is it practicing like investigation, or because, you know, I'm creating sort of awareness.
Doesn't matter what, if it is investigation or samadhi, you know, doesn't matter what, you know, as long as you practice, yeah? Yeah.
I will try.
This is the mind that wants to know. It's the mind that wants to understand. That is the source of all our dukkha, you know, avicca. Yeah? Yeah? No, yeah? I'm with the breath. No, I'm with the body, or I'm with the bodily feeling. Know this, yeah? And then you are on the right path, yeah? Everything else, the question, what is happening, and so on, it is not important, yeah? Know what is going on, and you know, you know what you have to do. Even you can't think of, when you're in a certain situation you have never experienced, yeah, then you start to think, you know, what shall I do? Just go to the knowingness and it knows what to do. Okay?
Thank you very much for your time again.
Yeah, I hope you're doing well.
Ah, yeah, Missouri, St. Louis, huh?
Yes, exactly. I've been focusing more on samadhi lately, as you suggested, and I was kind of wondering to myself, you know, why was it that you kind of prescribed me to shift from investigation more to samadhi? And it made me think of which of the factors of liberation are strongest in me and weakest in me. And upon some examination, I figured out that tranquility and equanimity are the things that are probably the weakest in me. And then I found the ones that are the strongest in me. And so I'm starting to become, I'm trying to put my mind into how you're seeing where my practice should be. And then that actually clarifies for me how the path will open up. And so I've, because I can intentionally know I want to focus on equanimity and tranquility, it's increasing. And it's very nice to see how I can actually intentionally put bricks in front of me, you know, to help the path. But one thing that has been interestingly happening is because I am getting more calm and I am getting more tranquil, I'm beginning to get some interesting insights into where certain thoughts and feelings are coming from. Because you told me to practice anatta, you know, to I think you said, treat thoughts like a cloud that passes by, and sometimes they come into you. And before that was always very vague, but now it's becoming a little bit more clear and more clear and more clear, and it's almost kind of an eerie feeling that things just formlessly jump into your mind. it's very strange, and it feels unfamiliar. It's like you have a house, and sometimes the window's open and someone drops something in there, and you go, how did that even get in there, you know? Sometimes it comes from the citta, and I can see that it came from the citta. Yeah. Like, it came from within me, metaphorically. But this is where it's getting strange. Sometimes I feel like I've had experiences with beings, other beings before in my life. They were very negative.
Negative?
And I knew something was, like something was bothering me. I don't know if it was a yaka or some, you know, very, very obvious there was something attacking me.
Okay.
But recently, there's been, the best way I can describe it is when I had those experiences, it was very clear someone was in my face trying to punch me. Now I'm getting more of the sense that there's a more professional being behind the implanting of thoughts and feelings. I guess I'll just say it directly. It almost feels like Mara is having some fun because it doesn't feel like a thug or like a street gangster. It feels like a professional hitman almost. That is the best way I can put it, where some thoughts and some feelings will very sneakily get put into my mind where they weren't there a second ago, and I'm paying very, very close attention to myself. They're fine. And then something comes, and I go, that definitely wasn't from me. And, I mean, my strategy with these other beings was you just make your mind strong and defend yourself, but also you have metta for them. And that was very helpful to diffusing those experiences.
Yes.
With Mara, I mean, it might be conceited for me to think that Mara would pay attention to me, because I'm sure he has more important things to do. But, you know, bigger fish to catch than me. But I suppose it's possible. So is there any particular strategy for Mara, or is it the same?
This reminds me about a Catholic joke, you know. A young monk, you know, comes to the abbot, you know, somewhere in Ireland, you know, they were practicing, you know, and the young monk tells the abbot, you know, yesterday, you know, what is it, the devil came to attack me, you know? And the abbot said, don't worry, I mean, you're not in a state where the devil is coming to attack you, yeah, and that is the same thing with Mara, yeah, I mean, you will see him, you know, just before, you know. If you know the story of the Lord Buddha, when came Mara to attack him? At the stage, you know, where he was just going to into Nibbana, yeah? Before, he doesn't worry about it, because you're still in his realm, yeah? And what you see is not Mara. It is your, it is some of the imprints within your citta, yeah? But you see them. And if you see them, you think, you know, you see them outside of yourself. Don't do that. You know, it can lead to very, very bad results, yeah? If you see them as coming from outside. Yeah? It's still from inside.
Because I don't take responsibility.
Yeah, just observe them. Observe them. Don't label them. Observe them until, you know, and then ask yourself, what came before this thought? What came before that, you know? Mm-hmm. Was there a feeling? Was there memory? Was there this, you know? And then what came before that? And before that, you know? So track it down, yeah? Track it down, you know, until you see what the stone, you know, the stone of evolution was, yeah? The stone who put, you know, the the avalanche, yeah? And don't think about Mara, you know, I mean,
it's not, he probably isn't worrying about me just yet.
He only worries about people who leave his realm, where he can influence the people. As long as you are in his realm, you know, I mean, he doesn't worry about it. But if he sees somebody, you know, trying to leave his realm, then he's going to bother them.
So someone who's like about to become, because once you become an anagami, you're kind of free from Mara, right? You only worry about your internal.
No, you're not free from. Right? No, yeah, you're not free from Mara. Yeah, only arahants are free from Mara. And so, I mean, the last battle before he became an arahant was a battle with Mara.
Right.
Okay. And that's where Mara comes
okay,
in.
So I have time to prepare. So don't externalize it, because then I'm not taking responsibility for it. It's maybe the Kalesa's way of saying, oh, it's not you, don't worry, you're not evil, you're not lustful, you're not hateful, you know, this is Mara, you're not this bad.
And that is where it really goes, where our practice really goes bad, when we externalize it, yeah. And a lot of people do it because they don't want to see the evil thoughts, yeah? They think these evil thoughts are put by other beings. No, yeah? The evil thoughts come out of our citta, yeah?
Interesting. And when I was getting a question for the past few days, you know, I could feel this really strong urge not to ask you this question. it's interesting to see. Like, I was almost being threatened. Like, there was this strange idea. It's like, oh, you can't talk about him because then he's going to really want to attack you. And I was like, that's a strategy. I shouldn't be afraid, you know. I shouldn't be afraid of anybody, let alone, you know. But, because, I mean, the thoughts are quite disgusting, you know. And you know, I'm sure I don't have to go into details, but, you know, you start to realize just how evil it is. And I think I asked this a different month. You told me not to tell people about this, I said, because they're very strange. But, you know, I judge myself very harshly for them. The deeper I go.
Don't judge it. Realize it. There's a thought, and then try to find out what caused that thought, yeah? Just roll back, yeah? And, yes, you don't have to tell these thoughts, yeah? But, you know, I mean, how many lives have we lived? How many bad thoughts, how many bad deeds have we done, yeah? Even if we have done, you know, and paid for it in hell, you know, I mean, the thought or the memory is still there, and it can come up at certain times, yeah? Yeah, so just accept it, you know, and then, yeah? Don't take it personally, yeah? There's a lot of things in our heart, you know? When I looked, you know, when I start to open my heart, I mean, so many, you know, for 2 years, you know, I mean, so many things came up, you know. Yeah. And then I observed them and let them go. And if they come again, I observe them, let them go. After the third time, I start to investigate what is behind it. Most of it, you know, I mean, 90% of the thoughts or memories that come up, I mean, you observe them, you accept them, yeah, and then you let them go, don't pay any interest to it, yeah, and they don't come again. But for 10% of the thoughts and memories that come up, they have a cause that is still inside the heart, and that needs to be resolved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When this process started, especially last year when our practice became very intense, there was a lot of crying, a lot of crying.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, very intense.
Yeah.
But now the same thoughts that caused me to cry, you know, regret, shame, sadness, fear, they're the same thoughts, and they're triggered by the same stone in the avalanche, you know. It could be something so minor, and then the reaction is like this, and it's such a strange reaction. But I'm no longer getting as upset with myself, and I'm no longer judging myself as much. I mean, yes, but it's dramatically decreased, whereas last year I thought would make me cry. Now it's like, yeah, that's quite evil for you to think that over something so simple, but okay, I guess that's how the chitta works, you know? And I'm...
Yeah.
So yep. I'm guessing that's a good sign.
It is a good sign, but what you should do is, you know, I mean, I don't want to think in this way. So you have to counteract it a little bit, yeah? As you said, this is a really evil thought, yeah? I mean, I really don't want to think, and I don't really hate this person, you know, because evil thoughts are always against a person or against a situation, yeah? And then, you know, try to look, you know, look at that person, you know, I don't want to hate this person, you know, I mean, it's his life, you know, whatever he does, you know, it is not of my concern. Or the situation, you know, if it is a situation, you know, where this evil comes up, then you look at the situation. I mean, that is what I did in the past to other people, yeah, I put them into the situation, so now I have to experience the situation, then experience the situation. And that reduces the cause of the problem. I mean, acceptance is the thing, you know, I mean, that gives, you know, gives us the way, you know, to get rid of the problem. If we don't accept it, if we push it away, you know, it will come back and back and back and back. It might come back, you know, less, you know, but it still comes back, yeah. So accept the situation. Yeah.
So I guess the subtlety sometimes is, it's hard to distinguish. I mean, it could be 1 inch is accepting it and 1 inch is giving in, and then a little inch to the right is I'm being aversive towards the thought, which is not really equanimous. So sometimes I get lost in the minute inches of am I suppressing it? Oh, I'm suppressing it. Oh, now I'm accepting it, but now I'm giving in, you know. It's very hard
and that's...
to see the
That's why I said last time, go more into samadhi to see more clearly what is happening. Because you tend so, you know, I mean, your tendency is, you know, to instantly analyze things, yeah? I mean, that is your strength, but you cannot use that yet. You have to have a clear seeing, a clear awareness of what is happening. And then you can use the strength of analyzing. Now you use the use the tendency of analyzing things instantly, and that destroys everything. That doesn't make anything clear. That's why you have this confusion. If you have the samadhi, you don't have any confusion because you see clearly. Yeah? So, train samadhi, 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 samadhi.
It's so simple, yeah. I just need to keep it the simple path. Yes, yes. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. So, more questions? Sunny?
Sorry. Do we have time for questions? Okay, we... Few more, if there's time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, this is
these are questions
long.
From the website, or
yes,
maybe we can do it in the next talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
Okay. Yeah, this is a long question. At my workplace, there is a colleague that seemed to be very nice in the beginning. I considered us to be friends, but turned out to be easily threatened by the thought of someone else being somehow better than them. As soon as I wasn't the inferior newbie anymore, that person became extremely jealous and envious and would treat me with resentment. Furthermore, they would try to pull me down and to get me out of their way, less by attacking me openly, but more by pulling manipulative moves. For a while, I remained very compassionate and kind towards them, and I did not take revenge for the aggressions of them back. Unfortunately, at some point, I lost to handle the situation in a skillful way. Fear came up, and off beam thought arrows that I have to protect myself. I told myself there's nothing to defend, it's just the ego. As soon as I could feel this, the fear would cease, but being followed by the idea, if there's nothing to defend, then I don't have to be afraid of losing this job. Well, then I could just quit and take my leave. Several times I was close to doing so, but it would be foolish because this workplace goes extremely well together with my wish for Buddhist practice, and I wouldn't be able to find another place offering me so much flexibility and opportunities for my practice. As this approach of overcoming my fear did not work out, I'm somehow stuck. Therefore, the fear gets worse and worse, and as a response to it, I'm thinking more and more about getting them out of my way. My fear caused me to think and act increasingly like this person. I'm basically turning into that very person. Everything I do not like about them is to be found in myself as well. I don't like that, but got to accept that to work on it. But how do I work on that fear? Please, may Longpo get me out of this.
It is actually very easy. Yeah? I mean, how can we stop fear? We stop thinking. If you stop thinking, there's no fear. Very easy. I mean, he has to practice, yeah? I mean, the thing that he did in the beginning, you know, being compassionate, yeah? I mean, think about it, you know, is what you get back is what you have sown in the past, yeah? Whatever happens to you is what you have done unto others, yeah? And it has nothing to do with this person, you know? It is your karma that is coming back to it, yeah? So don't get angry at the person, yeah? Try, you know, and stop your thoughts. I mean, meditate. The more you meditate, the easier it is to deal with these situations, yeah? And no, you know, I mean, it's not your fear. Fear is caused by thought, yeah? And, yeah, and anxiety is caused by thought, and by memories, and by comparison, yeah? So if you stop all this, you know, and stay with the Buddha, 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 so when fear comes up, yeah? Even in the work time, Buddha, 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 just think it, you know, and then the fear is gone. Yeah? And when the fear comes back, Buddha, 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 Buddha again, yeah? Or stick with the breath, you know, whatever is more comfortable for you. Okay? Next?
Okay. Greetings to Ajahn. Is our destiny pre-decided? And what does karma play a role in it? Whatever happens to us right now is already decided, or we can change it?
Of course we can change it. I mean, we have not only one destiny. That is a wrong understanding. We have so many different paths. Eh? It's just like in the middle of a city, you know, where we are in the center of a roundabout with 8 exits, yeah? Actually, we have much more than 8 exits. We can go in any direction. But, yeah, because of our tendencies, because of fear, because of this, you know, we normally go the main road and don't try the side streets, yeah? No. I mean, the destiny, karma is, when you go in the dark road, you know, this kind of karma happens. When you go on a broad, bright road, you know, this karma is happening. When you go into another road, that karma is happening, yeah? So, I mean, you have always the choice, yeah? And according to Lumpur Tet, you know, there is even one choice that is not dependent on karma. There is 17 choices that are dependent on karma, and there's one choice, or was it 16? I can't remember. And one choice that is not dependent on karma. So, you have lots of choices, yeah? But each choice that you take, you know, I mean, will bring up some different kind of karma. Yeah? Next question.
Is meeting you and learning Dharma from you, is this my karma?
I don't know. that's quite a funny question, you know. I mean, yes, meeting, yeah. I mean, it can be some sort of karma, yeah. I hope it's good karma. Next question.
Okay, second question. Coming to the monastery and practicing in the monastery, how much can we grow spiritually, and what happens when we practice at home? Is practicing in our own house slower than coming to the monastery?
I mean, I wouldn't say lower, yeah? But it's
slower,
different.
Slower.
What?
Slower.
Slower. I mean, that really depends on, sometimes, yeah? I mean, I stopped my work because I didn't have any progress anymore in my meditation. That's why I stopped working, you know? And then I went, you know, to monasteries, you know, to stay there and practice, yeah? I mean, you feel it, yeah? Yes, I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes it is, can stop you, yeah? But some of the things you can do at home, yeah? There are certain things, you know, you can do at home, you know? But if you have finished the task, you know, then you have to go, yeah? If your practice doesn't develop anymore, if your insights doesn't develop anymore, and you see that you get stuck, you know, either you don't really get into samadhi or you don't get into apana samadhi, then you have to find a place, you know, where it is quiet, yeah? And being in the monastery, yeah? And there you can develop it further. Next.
Okay, last question. Is euthanasia of a pet due to illness in a pet that cannot be treated, is that considered as breaking precept?
Yes. It is killing, isn't it?
Euthanasia.
Is killing.
Doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, do the best, yeah? Give it medicine or whatever, you know, but don't kill, yeah? It's breaking the precept.
Is it breaking the precept for the person who does it? Or for,
yeah.
Like if the doctor says, we will euthanize, and then you say, okay, is that breaking the precept?
Yeah. Because you have to give your okay, yeah? Mm-hmm. If somebody, you know, if the soldiers ask you, you know, shall I kill this person? And you say, okay, yeah. I mean, he doesn't want to kill the person.
The doctor.
Yeah. The doctor doesn't want to kill the cat, you know, because you're the owner of the cat, you know. He said, he might suggest, you know, it might be better, you know, to kill it or euthanize it or whatever it is called, yeah. No, it is breaking the precept, yeah. I mean, this cat has to go through some karma, or this dog has to go, or this horse has to go through some karma, and yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah, you take away, you know, you take away the chance, you know, to live through this kind of karma, because in the next life, yeah, I mean, she will not have, you know, she will not have the opportunity, you know, and she has to live through it again. Yeah. So, okay, end of questions. Sani?
Yes.
You're still here?
Yeah. No more questions.
Okay. So, it is late. It's already 1.5 hours. So, it's late, yeah? So, now over the Christmas time and New Year time, take the opportunity. I mean, make the mind clear. Get into samadhi, yeah? I mean, this is the most important thing. Yeah? Making the mind clear, yeah? To see clearly what is going on. And then you can analyze it. And we are trained in the West, you know, and we try to analyze it instantly. When we see something, we need to analyze it. Now, look closely. Yeah, train your samadhi until there is no more thoughts, because analyzing needs thoughts, yeah, and memory and comparison, yeah. Go into samadhi until there are no thoughts, no memory, and stay there for at least 30 minutes, yeah? Or if you can, for 1 hour or 2 hours, yeah? And only when you come out of the state, then the mind is completely clear, and whatever it looks at, it sees clearly what is going on. Okay, understood? Have a nice day, and have a new, what is it, new year, or good festivity, and I see you next year.
Thank you, Rampo.
Yeah,
and
you're welcome.
Also, you respect Rampo.
Yeah, we handle the question in... Well, when is Padimok?
Tuesday.
It's already Tuesday. Okay. Linda?
Thank you, Rampo.
3 hours. I forgot to tell the monks, you know, let the others also know. You should come to the sala tomorrow at 6:20, yeah? We go Bindapad at 7 o'clock, yeah? So 6:20 you prepare the seats, you know? Yeah? There will be quite some busy things going on. We don't go to the village. Because when we go to the village, we cannot come up again. I mean, the car will be stuck. Yeah. There might be too many. It doesn't matter, you know, I mean, let's have one day in the year, you know, where we don't go actually into the village. In Bandat, we used to have 3 days. Or was it 4 days? Some special day. So
shall the lay people, the teas, eat downstairs?
What? Yeah. Also. The schedule is we go Bindapad, then you prepare the food, and then we take the food, then the food is given. Yeah. I mean, the mechi, of course, you sit here.
Okay, that was my
question. Yeah. I mean, that is clear. But all the lay people, you know, are going to... I mean, there will be probably lots of food. I hope so. Yeah. But before we eat, you know, we do the papa, and then I give my anumodana, and then everybody can do it on its own time. Because if we do it twice, you know, I mean, it will just stretch out, you know, some people haven't eaten, you know, and then, yeah. So we distribute the food, and then, you know, we do the papa, you know, the donation, you know, and then I give my anumodana, and then everybody goes and eat. By that time, the food will be cold already.
Warm.
Huh?
I've never eaten warm food in the last couple of
years. Yeah, sometimes, you know, when there are few people, you know, I mean, you get at least... Not hot food, but warm food. The rice is warm and it's not cold. So, any questions? Yeah. What is your Busenfreundin's name?
Fragst du mich oder die Busenfreundin?
Ja.
Mein Name ist Jayanya.
Wie?
Jayanya.
Chayana.
Jayanya. Like Chaya and Anya.
Chaya Anna. Wo kommt der Name her?
It means Jaya and Anya.
Ja, Jayanya.
Yes.
Ja, und wo kommt der Name her? Hat ihn der deine Eltern gegeben oder was?
No. I received it from Achanchayasaro.
They are always there. I mean, we here, yeah, we deal here with our names given by our parents. All the monks here in Thailand, yeah. I mean, except for the Western edition of Ajahn Chah. Even the disciples, the Thai disciples of Ajahn Chah use their given name. But the Western want to be something special, so I mean, I'm a different personality if I have a different name. That's why we don't do it. We are the same people, you know. Lukta Mahabodh said very clearly, you know, when we ordain, you know, the Kilesas don't ordain. They're still the same. Yeah? Greed and hatred are still the same. Yeah? We still have to get rid of them. So that's why we normally use, you know, and there's a surname, then we use the Pali name. So for me, it's Ajahn Martin Piyadhammo. Yeah? That is my surname. I don't have another surname anymore. Okay. So you're okay? Where is she staying? In which kuti?
Kuti Choy.
Kuti Choy? Yeah. You didn't give us the measurement for the shop.
Yeah, I a bucket with my clothes and washed it.
Give us the measurements for the shelf, you know, and then, yeah, I mean, we went today, you know, I could have picked it up, but, you know, I mean, I didn't have them. So, you have any questions?
No, not at the moment. I'm grateful that I can be here. So thank you for this.
Yeah. I wonder if she's still grateful tomorrow. If you stay here longer, it will be tough.
I believe so.
Yeah. The Kilesas are coming up very quickly here. Yeah? Metsi Sunanda? And they're strong. Yeah. Pow, pow, pow. Constantly beating us up. Okay, so, yeah. Go and have, you know, use the time, you know, it is quiet, you know. Huh? Even though, you know, tomorrow there will be quite some noise. Yeah? Use the time, you know, and practice. So the lady from Thailand, what is your name?
Bobung.
What? Bobung. 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 Yeah. So you understood everything?